We have a gratitude jar, kind of our best parts of our day jar. And we just have little sticky notes of paper that we write down for each person what was a good thing in their day.
This is the Ginny Bubble Podcast. Ideas and tips for the grown-ups in the lives of kids, mainly kids in the 4 to 11 age range. I'm Suzanne Hazelton, a positive psychologist and author of Great Days at Work. Until now, my work, research and interest has been coaching adults in business. However, it's been a long-held ambition to enable more children to thrive. Since lockdown, I've been jolted into turning this ambition into a reality. I'll be chatting with guests who will provide tips to better enable our children to thrive. Welcome to the Genie Bubble Podcast. Tell me a little bit about yourself, Laurie.
Yeah, so I'm a mom of two, and I think that's like my most important work, most challenging work. And we live in the middle of a forest, so we live in northern Minnesota. So we're very much an outdoors family, and I've been a leadership educator for the last 10 years and in community development for 20 plus years. And I focus a lot on positive psychology and thinking about how leaders can be well. How can they take care of themselves? How can they think about the well-being of their communities and of their organizations? And in recent years, as when I became a mom, I just noticed that as I'm teaching leadership, so much of my head and my stories go back to being a mom and being a kid. And also my strategies and my time and the way I looked at the world shifted. And so that's really when I started getting into more of the child development, but also the parenting, kind of the aspect of taking care of yourself as a parent. And so for the past few years, I've really been integrating positive psychology more into the parenting world and became certified as a parenting coach as well.
Cool. I'm also a positive psychologist, also have done some of the leadership development type stuff, but I perhaps haven't taken it in the same direction as you with parenting and looking after yourself as a parent. We were talking about self-care for parents. So just curious what perhaps some of your tips are for self-care.
So for me, one of the hardest things becoming a parent was that your time is constricted, your goals, like you have a set time, maybe I'm going to go for a run at this time and it doesn't always work, right? So I think my biggest self-care tips for parents are nuggets, right? So how can we really integrate well-being practices, whether it's mindfulness or whether it's creative outlets or whether it's moving your body, those kind of things into shorter pieces of time, because we sometimes have to sandwich them in between that 15-minute break you have in between meetings or as you're waiting for your kids to get out of school. So I think that really kind of how I shifted was I felt like becoming a parent, I just had less time that I could have of my own because there was more structured time in my quote unquote free time, right? My evenings and my all those things. So as a parent, how we think about our well-being or how we think about how we can integrate it and align it into our lives really shifts when we start to take into that whole structure of our family. So I think about it as smaller nuggets. How can I do things for myself? And there are times when you'll notice that come those self-care check-ins, like, is this really important for me to have self-time and does self-time mean alone right now? Or what does that look like?
What would you say to a parent who tends to do stuff for their kids and maybe put their own self-care towards the bottom of the list?
I would say that if you don't have a plan for yourself in the whole plan for your family, then your plan is incomplete because we really can't take care of our kids if we're not taking care of ourselves. And we say that, but it is so true because we know some of the most important things for us in life is connection and having connections with others and with our kids. If we're going to be attuned to our kids' emotions and being able to respond to them, we need to take care of ourselves first so we are ready to be calm, so we are ready to listen. So that self-care time is so important. Without that, we can't take care of other people. As parents, we give a lot. We're caretakers. And so this is part of our role as being a parent. And so one thing to really think about is something called compassion fatigue, which really started for more health professionals, but research is finding, and we're looking at like, how does it affect parents? And we're realizing more and more that parents are really affected by compassion fatigue. And that is when we were less able to have a connection with somebody else, but we more end up focusing or get into that muck around, oh my gosh, I'm so tired, right? It's more focused on yourself and you aren't able to kind of get in there in the moment and be present in the moment. So that self-care is so important so we can be in the moment.
Can you say a few more words about perhaps some of the things that you do or you've seen other people do that are really effective in short amounts of time?
I like to think about the four different types of self-care. And the first thing to think about is, where are you now? Like, what kind of self-check-in do you need? Is it about being alone or is it about connecting with others? Like, is it around being alone or is it being away from my family, right? So is it about connecting with friends or, and there's different moments. Every day might be different. So your self-care might look different after you do a check-in to say, what am I really needing? So social connection could be one of them. And what does that mean for you? For me, I like one friend. And so often that means, especially during time of COVID, I'm not really gathering with friends. I do go running with just one friend. So that kind of fits for me of that self-care as I'm able to weekly check in with somebody and have that connection. And then also check off, so to speak, another box of self-care, which is kind of active, effortful movement or moving your body in a more challenging way. So for me, that's trail running. We do a lot of hiking, living in the woods, things like that. But so kind of more of effort thing. So sweating, getting that kind of adrenaline rush that you get when you work out harder in your body. The other two that I mentioned really are the creative expression. And for some of us, that can be with your kids. I think I get most of my creative expression or a lot of my creative expression with my kids, whether it's finger painting or coloring, all those really detailed coloring books. We're kind of into those these days, or making up silly songs, or we actually say poems as we're washing our hands these days. So I think a lot of my creative expressions for me ends up being time with my kids. But for others, that might look like creative expression is writing a song, playing the guitar, the piano, or just out in nature and creating something with the rocks that are you find on the beach, right? So it looks different, depends on what you enjoy and what you have around you. And I think that's another one that's really about the social connection piece too. Is it something you want to do with somebody else, or do you find more energy when you're creative and you're alone? Maybe you're a writer or you like to create poems. And so that might be a solo experience for you. And then that regular relaxation, right? That mindfulness thing. I think, you know, we all know it. We've heard it for a super long time. The research is like, it's good for both like physical health as well as our mental health, but to actually do it and to integrate it. And I think for me, it was like finding what worked. And pre-COVID, it was a lot of quick little minutes when I was transitioning. And we still have transitions. It's just harder, but it's maybe even more important to recognize that we are transitioning, right? So for me, it was dropping the kids off at daycare or school and then coming back. I work from home. So coming back to home and working and just doing those mindfulness techniques. And you want to like maximize your work time. So you're working to the very last minute. And do you take a moment to pause before you go upstairs to make dinner? Or between the meetings? And those practices of mindfulness, those deep breathing, whether it's 1 minute or 5 minutes, I just notice that when I practice them, I am much more ready for whatever's to come next.
I think what you call transitions in the past, I've called like micro breaks. It's not necessarily the going to get a cup of coffee, but as you say, it's standing in the queue somewhere for something or waiting, as you say, at school. And all of a sudden, you've got these transitions or the micro breaks, which you can use really effectively. One of the things, I don't know whether you've come across heart math breathing, but to just be very mindful breathing that can take a really short amount of time.
Right now, our daughter is in early elementary and she gets out of school earlier this year than normal. And so we actually pick her up many days and different things. We can't use after school care, all those COVID kind of differences in our lives. And it's so easy for that like 5 minutes that you're waiting for her to use it looking at your Facebook, checking your work emails. But I notice if I put on meditation app or if I take that minute and just do deep breathing.
So when you pick up your phone and you've got the Facebook app on there, you've got the news app on there, how do you remind yourself to make the active choice to go to the meditation app?
That's a really good point. I think I notice about myself that I still feel that tense, right? Like it's like, okay, here I am and I'm just kind of waiting in that thing. And it's just like, okay, I need to breathe. And many of my friends or my colleagues use like Pomodoro or other kind of apps to help them remind. So one thing you could do, and it'd be a great practice for me as well, because I do have a timer set around when I have to go to get her from school. But when that timer goes off and that time kind of clicks, it's like, okay, this is my breathing time. And you know, it's a really great tip because I use that a lot we live 2.5 hours from the next biggest town with a place to shop kind of thing, right? A superstore kind of thing. And I have landmarks along the way that I have at our check-in. Okay, I hit this lighthouse and that's a personal check-in time. And so sometimes it is around that having keystone moments in your day around what you pass as you're driving, around a time on the clock, around if then, right? Or when I pass this, then I will do that. And so I think that's really great. I think what you're bringing up is amazing because when I pick her up or when I'm waiting in line, then you'll have that structure so you can make a change and integrate it.
I love that, having the visual reminders, having the time reminders. I too have the alarm for collecting my daughter from school. I'm guessing perhaps it's fairly common. It's one of those things that you can't miss. And to be able to maybe set it for just a moment earlier to be able to go, and as soon as the alarm goes off, I'm going to do some breathing or mindfulness or whatever it is.
My when then moment also is when I'm waiting, if I'm waiting, I'm standing in line, if I'm outside, part of my when then is instead of sitting and waiting on the bench or sitting on the grass waiting, it's like, how can I move in that moment? And sometimes it's just your feet and your toes, right? And that feels so good.
Great. That's really lovely suggestions for getting some a bit more self-care into our days. Do you want to say about having some family rituals, what they are and how you do them?
Yeah, I think there's so many practices we know. I do a lot of my practices with my kids and good parts of our day practice during the evening time together. For us, it's the evening meal. And that looks like different things. We have a few different options. One is we have a gratitude jar, kind of our best parts of our day jar. And we just have little sticky notes of paper that we write down for each person what was a good thing in their day. So we go around and we were doing this when our little one was not able to talk. So we actually have the ones still in there and sometimes we'll pull them out and you can tell like he wasn't speaking. And so we were like, oh, I think he liked his mashed potatoes or whatever the things were, like he laughed when, right? So that was something that they really glommed onto, and ours are just 2 years apart. So you're probably 3 and 1 at the time, very young. We also have a lot of, my daughter loves art. She's young, she's 7. But she likes to create kind of the wall thing that goes on for the season. And right now she has a turkey that she made last year when she was 6 and we kept it. And so we're adding more feathers this year to that turkey of what we're kind of in now for the month of November. And on that turkey is again, something we're grateful for that day. So that shifts kind of with the season and it works for our family because she loves to create. So she loves to think about what's the next thing she's going to put on the wall. And I'm someone who likes different things. So one thing every day doesn't quite work for us, but we have choices and we have poem books that we read. She's a beginner reader. So we have a book, a poem a day. That's a really small nature poem that she reads and we talk about. It helps us to connect with what's happening. It's seasonal. We could talk about, is that what we're noticing? What do you think before around that thing in the nature piece that was there? And then the biggest one, I think the other thing that I've just loved integrating is really based on the loving kindness practice, which I think many people have heard about, or it's one of the most researched meditations in mindfulness. And we know that it's good for our well-being. It helps to really build our self-compassion, but our compassion with others. And we started this also when we were younger, but I modified it to work with kids, right? So our little kids. So as we're laying in bed at night, after we've read our stories, and we're having our quiet time, connecting time together, we do what we call our blessings. So we have 4 parts to it. And they let us know, like I have them choose somebody in their lives, like somebody, who do you want to give a blessing to tonight, right? So they think about a friend, or a grandparent, somebody they love in their family. Maybe it was a teacher. And often they choose somebody they had a little bit of a conflict with during the day. And we all know with our little kids, this happens a lot. So our blessing, our 4 stages are, may they be safe. So we'll say, you know, may Luke be safe. May Luke be healthy. May Luke be kind. May Luke be happy. And then we move to the next one. And then I usually end with, may all our friends and family be safe. May all our friends and family be healthy. May all our friends and family be kind, and may all our friends and family be happy, and then the world. So we kind of connected. I've shifted a little bit from what's in there, but it's been really great because they've actually noticed that they'll go to their friends. I gave you a blessing last night. So it's fun that they're connecting with that and they're noticing those things as well.
That's really lovely. I really like the way that you've adapted it and really make it work and embody some of the practices that you perhaps talk to others about. Do you want to say a few words about how you go about setting intentions, perhaps for your day or for the children's day?
Yeah, I think this is really interesting because I'm a leadership educator as well. And before coming a mom, it was like, oh, the first thing in your day before you get out of bed. And that might work for some parents, for those parents of kids who sleep through the night and they're able to wake and have their mornings for themselves. You may be able to have that quiet time and have some intention. That's not the truth in my family. The truth in my family is that when we wake up, we're probably not in the same configuration of when we went to bed. So there's some kind of movement during the night. We're really practicing that. It's our hard thing we're working on. But the truth is our mornings, I don't wake up earlier than my kids and have that time to myself as much as I wish I would be able to. So setting an intention, not having that morning practice or having your kids right there with you already in the morning is harder when you're a parent. So I think part of that intention for me is having more of a how intention. And so I have an intention of how do I want to be? And again, as an achiever person, it's less of that goal of what do I want to get done into the day? What do I want to take through into the day? But really thinking about how do I want to be as I interact with my kids? What kind of connection do I want to have? How do I want to be? Is it taking your cell phone and putting your cell phone away? When the argument breaks out between the kids, how do I want to be? I want to be calm, or I want to help them connect, right? So like really around, for me, the intention is more in the how than in the what I want to do.
When in your day do you do that?
That's kind of my overall intention of I've kind of set, right? Like for like, that's kind of this mantra type of thing in the back. And so it's a good reconnect for me because it's one of more of a pillar practice that goes throughout. And I have actually little pieces throughout my house. So it's like, how do I want to be? There's one in my office, one in my bathroom that says, how do I want to be? So it's just like resetting the intention. Maybe it's as you're brushing your teeth or as you're going through. And for me, it's important to kind of reconnect again, those transition times of, okay, put away work and now we're here. And so I think it's like that transition time for me is that intention connection.
If I've understood you correctly, Laurie, you thought about this before. You thought about, okay, how do I want to be as a parent, the type of mom you want to be? And then you ask yourself the question. So the question is in different places around your home, which just reminds you to think about it and I guess give yourself some options as well. You know, as you're cleaning your teeth in the morning, you go, how do I want to be today? Have I understood that correctly?
I think so often we're set, like we are told as a parent, set your intention or a person, set your intention through your day. What are the things you want to do or get done? And for me, it's less about the do and get done, but it's about the how, right? So it's about that how. And for me, that question is, how do I want to be? And so that intention is more around resetting myself and thinking around how do I want to connect? And so having those kind of transition or connection moments, it's more for me around that how kind of piece. I think the frustration comes when you're reading. It's like, set your intention, spending this time of the day. And I think the tension point for me was like, I don't have that moment in the morning where I'm getting there as my kids are getting older, but I didn't have those moments in the morning where you really had to yourself to say, okay, what are the three things you want to do? And so for me, it was really more about focusing on that how overall as my intention instead of the what.
Your brilliance, if I may say so, is around how you have taken some of these vanilla tools from positive psychology and how you have adapted them to make them work for parenting and for you and for your family with your daughter's creativity and her artwork. And it sounds like you've done a really great job. What I'm delighted about is the fact that other people can nick some of your ideas and start to do them for themselves as well. Starting to think about your business, how do you work with other people to do some of this stuff?
I'm really kind of launching in different ways. I've been working at university, teaching education or leadership education a long time, and I'm still engaged with that. But now I'm also doing more consulting. So in the past few years, I've been working on getting my parent coaching certification. So I'm beginning to take on clients, both individuals and groups, to just really have some parent coaching time. So my website is launching. It's called Resilient Solutions. I do have a Facebook page, a Facebook business page, which is Resilient Parenting Solutions, as well as resilientparentingcoach@gmail.com. So I come from that leadership world. I come from that working mom world that you're just doing a lot, right? Like my normal work week is well over 40 hours. And so that overwhelm and that busy parent, and now with COVID and integrating the more home time and more distance learning. So my business really is thinking about, that's who I know. That's my story. That's kind of the pain zone that I have had to work through as well. And so I really think about that integration, the alignment, not just as a parent, but alignment's all of it. How do you lead? How do you parent so that you can, and how do you thrive overall as your family? So that's really what I like to think about. It's like not just the one role we have, we have so many roles and integrating those overall.
Well, who would be an ideal parent who would come to you for your services?
Yeah. So somebody who's really starting to think about, what can I do? Like, how do I want to grow myself as an individual, including as a parent? So my approach really is around looking a lot around our own lives. And so when our kids are having that moment of stress, how are we approaching that, right? So that's kind of that positive psychology base that we know with attunement, it's really about ourselves first. So somebody who's looking for that deeper dive together, this connection that we can do, we can kind of dive in over 6 to 10 weeks, maybe even more, and really think about our own self and be able to help grow, as well as integrate some new strategies around emotional intelligence and self-care and nonviolent communicating between our kids and with ourselves, with our kids as well, and with our partners. So somebody who's really looking for those different aspects of self-growth as a parent and as a leader.
Brilliant. Well, I wish you every luck. And with COVID, I'm guessing you can take parents from literally all over the world. So I'm guessing.
Yeah. And where I live is always very remote. So definitely online works well for me. Like being able to connect all over the world is great.
Super. Well, thank you. You've been listening to the Genie Bubble podcast. We're online. Find out more at geniebubble.org. Have a great day.